You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good thing you don't have stereo on your car radio. It'd be messing with your head while you're trying to drive. That'd be distracted driving. The way they were zipping back and forth on
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Yeah. Little lucky man, Bob Moog's birthday. This is what we do. We take our stuff seriously. Let's go to the phone, 790-2040. Billy number two, man who gave us a great update on the $700 a year for the Arizona Daily Star yesterday. What do you have for us today, sir?
Well, good morning, guys. Chris, I don't think you're giving enough credit to Mr. Huckleberry. He's actually got some accomplishments, and one of them is, he got a bike path named after him. And usually, to get something, a public thing named after you, usually you got to die to accomplish that mission. But he got one when he's still alive.
Well, if you're king, you can just
He's accomplished that. And then another thing he's accomplished, which is really a big deal in my opinion, he's accomplished acquiring for Pima County taxpayers, if I have my numbers right, more bond indebtedness than all of the others counties.
Now listen here, young man. You don't understand how bonds work. If you did, you wouldn't be saying things like that.
I think I do. So he's accomplished that. And so that's over $1 billion with a B. That he's saddled. There's only 1 million people that live in this area right down here.
That's true.
And so, he's got these, we got this anvil around your leg as a taxpayer. It's kind of, you're trying to run a foot race, and it's pretty hard to do sometimes when you got an anvil taped to your leg. So, anyways, but he's got those accomplishments, and maybe the other one is he's accomplished to
You know what I love about this? They love to give themselves honors, right, for people who have failed so miserably.
Acrylic, as Joe Higgins would say.
Correct.
That's acrylic,
Him getting the loop named after him, right? Then we had, remember his own transportation department 2 years ago gave him an award for a lifetime achievement in transportation.
Yes.
That's great. Right. And then
like a comedy hour here
on Sharon Bronson's Facebook page, the picture of her is getting some sort of medal of appreciation from like the soccer kids for giving them a free field. It's a piece of crap. And so they're all about the awards for people who have done nothing.
Well, and it usually comes up about election year, too.
That's what I heard.
All right, guys. See you later.
All right. So listener Gordon sent me a link to payscale.com. They're saying the average Pima County salary is $54,000. I was working off some old numbers. So if I take that times the 1,000 employee FTEs sitting on the budget that aren't filled, that's $64 million that's just sitting there, not touched at all. So again, I'm sure it's not. I'm sure he's not padding the budget. that's nothing better than that. I can see Ed dealing with this right now. According to a listener, Martin, we just got cut off. it's so funny. Listener Martin says, "Chuck cut you guys off. The signal's off." Looks like when Rahina gets here, her and I are going to go to Medendetto for breakfast. I'll tell Sue and Midge to meet us there. Well, Ed, you let me know when I'm back on. It's a Festivus miracle here. Oh, here he is, Rahina's bodyguard. Guy's about 5'9". Guy's like a ninja or something like that. That's what I think. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Ed, are we officially back on the air?
I believe so. Yes, we are. Thank you for everybody for your patience. Thanks for letting us know that we're off and then we're back on. Don't know what's up, but
The best part was,
but maybe it's snowing at the transmitter.
One of our listeners hit me on Facebook and said, "Look, you're breaking down that Huckleberry has $64 million of jobs that he has payroll assigned to that no one's working," which some think people might say, is he possibly padding a budget, right? Because there's no one else doing that. If I was just telling Rahina off air that if I said to Mike Ortega, hey, do you have an extra 14% of payroll just sitting doing nothing? I don't think Mike Ortega would probably go, I don't think so. So it was good timing that we lost the signal right during the rant on padded payroll over at the old county of Pima. Welcome back to you all. We have Sue and Midge, my travel ladies, perfect for your going into summer, coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. And couple of things I want to get out, get off of my chest, as we like to say, announcements-wise. We have two trips this summer going to Rocky Point, Mexico. We're going June 3rd through the 6th and July 15th through the 18th. Make sure you call Carmen. She's just getting at her desk now. Give her about 20 minutes to breathe, and then call her at 622-8811. $380 a person, double occupancy, gets you transportation, bilingual guide, 3 nights at the Peñasco del Sol Hotel, right on the beach, and a day trip to the old seaport. It's the easiest, cheapest, most reasonable way to do the ocean. And of course, I think the peso to the dollar is probably 17 to a dollar right now. So it's kind of a pretty good discount to go get 3 amazing tacos and a beer for about $4 and make it happen. So that's going on. You can go to graylinearizona.com 24/7 to book it. Brewed coffee. Phil and Kate, great job on the coffee today. If you missed anything, go to kvoi.com. We had David Schweikert calling in, talking about his Valley Fever bill and a few other things at 6:15. We had the publisher of Forbes magazine, Rich Carlgaard, and his new book about late bloomers. And then we got an update from umpire John as he's waiting for his flight at Pulliam Airport in Flagstaff that it's snowing like crazy in Flagstaff right now. So it sounds like a real example of biological diversity. Oh, sorry. 790-2040 is the phone number. Good morning to Councilwoman Rahina Romero. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, but these things are not working.
What?
So all right. Does the wire
plugged in?
Tell bodyguard there's another one right there.
Okay, and then turn the silver knob, and then we're there. Me.
Okay.
There we go.
The magic of broadcasting.
Good morning, Rahina.
Good morning. How are you, Chris?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's the last day of school for my kids. So I was running around making breakfast and getting them ready, taking pictures for their last day of school.
So you do the first day of school always.
We do the first day of school. We do the last day of school. And last day of 7th grade for my son, Emiliano. Last day of 3rd grade for my daughter, Luciana.
And then they're going to be knocking on doors this summer.
They're already started. It's a family thing.
Kids, what are we doing this summer? Are we going to go to Disneyland? Well,
no.
You're going to be over in the Sam Hughes neighborhood knocking on doors.
It's a wonderful hands-on teaching of civics.
It's like some would say exposing your children to the election process this soon might be considered mild child abuse, but we'll call it civic engagement education.
Civic engagement, hands-on. Actually, it's really funny because I usually tell people that my kids have been to more marches, rallies, canvases, protests, pickets than any regular 21-year-old. Luciana, we made history. I was the first council member ever to be pregnant while serving on the council. So Luciana was born into me being an elected official.
Well, kudos to you being that fertile to do that and be an elected official at the same time. God bless you.
I planned them around the campaigns. they were planned.
I asked this of Mr. Farley a couple of days ago when he was here. Now that you're in a mayoral race and you're really starting to engage with different parts of Democrats all over the city and striving against two other folks that might think a little differently than you on certain things, what have you learned about through this process so far?
Well, you know, canvassing door to door, what I hear from people is two things. And even though I tell them I'm running for mayor, I'm, you know, knocking on their door, and I ask people what interests you, what are the issues that you want us to talk about, that you want us to fight for. And the number one that I've heard, believe it or not, is public education funding. And I said, well, you know, the mayor has a bully pulpit and we can advocate and help you fight for it and lobby for it. And then the second one is roads and parks.
Right.
And so it's the meat and potatoes of the responsibilities of a local government. That we have to make sure that we provide the services. And those are the services that impact the quality of life of people the most. So those are the things that I'm hearing. And, you know, usually I'd like to say we have been investing millions of dollars in our roads. We absolutely need to do more. And that's why I'm running.
We were just running down some of the numbers that the city's received in HERF and VLT over the last... I still kept my notes. So even though a lot of folks like to say the sweep word, mm-hmm. we like to say we swept and sweeped. And of course, a lot of people think that means it's like all of it disappeared.
Right. Because
like, that's always think when you say we swept it away.
Right.
And it's been in decreases. I had this is from the state treasurer. You guys have still received $262 million in HERF VLT from 15 projected through next year. But my thing is, when you know me and the spending of the city of yeah. Tucson, if you guys didn't pull your fat out of the fire with some of these bonds and convince folks to vote for those, you guys are possibly in a mild world of hurt
yes.
than you are now.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I don't think people understand the magnitude of the recession that we had in the city of Tucson. I mean, we were losing $50 million per year for at least for 6 years. And so it really did a world of hurt to our streets, to our parks, to the investment that we made in our police and fire. And to be honest with you, we worked really hard. There were cities in America that were laying police officers off, that were laying firefighters, that were closing fire stations and police stations. And we worked with our labor council. We worked with TPOA, TFFA, AFSCME, CWA. We worked with our labor council to figure out how we put the line in the sand. No layoffs of public safety and first responders, and no closures of fire stations and police stations. And so we kept that promise, and it has been a very, very difficult...
Of course, my counter to that is that you didn't have to lay them off. They were just starting to leave on their own anyway.
Well, you know...
The attrition got so high there.
A lot of them stuck it out with us. A lot of them stuck it out with us. And to be able to recover from that magnitude of that recession took us years. But right now, I feel the last 4 years, we have been able to reinvest into our employees. Just most recently, last year... with the advice of TPOA and TFFA, we went through the, you know, 2%, 2.5%, 2% increase across the board to all employees. But what we wanted to do is make sure that we focused on our first responders. With the help and advice of TPOA and TFFA, we did a decompression in those departments first. And so... we most recently, with their help, their advice, we decompressed that department, gave a lot of people many raises, sometimes 12% raise, 17% raise, it depends. We did the same thing with fire. And then most recently, we are going to do the same thing with our blue collar workers. But it took a lot of time. And you have to remember, Chris, that the little bit that we were recovering, all of that recovery money that we're seeing coming back into our budget, we were paying into our pension, our PSPRS system. Which was horribly managed by the state and the city of Tucson. The only thing that we could do was write the check. And so as we were recovering, those checks were going to the state. to cover PSPRS, and we want to make sure that our police and fire have a dignified retirement. They've put in their time, they're put in their service, they're putting their lives on the line, and we want to make sure that their retirement is there for them, because we need to, as a community, we need to thank them for their service to our community. So that was important. There were some changes that fire and police went up and lobbied to the state legislature. I think it was Prop 126 a couple of years ago that they modified their pension system. That has been helping some. And then finally, the last 4 years, we have seen the recovery so well that we've been able to do all of these adjustments in police and fire.
Of course, the scary thing is that even with the commitment to try to hire an extra 20 cops a year, is the attrition still higher?
Not as much, to be honest with you.
Last time I talked to Chris, your chief, the high was like 8. We were losing 8 a month.
The high was really
so
bad.
Now we're at 4 or 5 a month, but is what he's saying.
But that is normal because of retirements, because of people leaving.
I'm not saying it isn't, but what I'm saying is that if you're gonna lose 4 or 5 a month, right? That's 48 to 60 a year.
Yeah.
And you guys have committed to hire 20 a year.
Yes.
That's not a great situation.
That's not. And we want to get to at least 990, which would be, right now we have about 887.
Do you think Tucson's a dangerous city to live in?
I know that for a fact that crime has been going down, and I don't think we are a crazy dangerous city as we've seen in other cities in America. I think we have an amazing police force, and we, you know, there's crime just like every other city in America. But I think that we do a pretty darn good job. We would absolutely need more officers, and we're moving towards that direction as the budget allows, and prioritizing that. The same thing that we're doing with firefighters. But I wouldn't say the city of Tucson is a crime-ridden city that has no life. So
I want to move on to other things when we come back. But if you look at the FBI stats, and we're basically in 2017, we're the highest robbery city in Arizona, according to the FBI. And we're one of the most dangerous cities in Arizona to the FBI. So I know you're trying to put a good spin and shine on this. I love your encouragement, but I feel like if you do become mayor, I think in the end, as this moves through, you're going to have to find 4 votes that are going to have to make a little tougher decisions than I think you guys have even done in the past.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that we need absolutely additional officers and detectives. Because a lot of the crime that we see in Tucson is related to the border issues that we have, right? That there is still drugs being smuggled in, there's still people being smuggled in, and so we definitely need additional help. But you're right. We're going to have to make very serious decisions as we move forward.
All right. Rahina Romero, Christy Simone. If you have a question or comment, 790-2040. It's 8:20 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Robert Moog bird day today. So we'll do some more synthesizers.
Look at you. Look at Ed. You're so funky today. It's the the birthday of Robert Moog, who invented the Moog synthesizer.
We played this on the air back in the 70s, 80s, whatever it was. Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. 8:24 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30, KVOI The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We are catching up with Councilwoman Rahina Romero. What's the mayoral website if people want to check out?
You can visit us at votereginaromero.com.
Okay.
ReginaRomero.com.
What do you want me to say? Is it Rahina or Regina? Well, you just said Regina. Don't confuse me.
I feel fine either way.
Last time you were on the show, I told you how I got in trouble by saying by rolling my R's and saying Rahina.
You could do votereginaromero.com. If you can't, I feel comfortable with you saying votereginaromero.com.
Let's go to the phone.
As long as you say it.
790-2040. Carl's staying consistent. He has a question that he asked Steve Farley just 2 days ago. It's like a forum right now. Carl, you're on with Councilwoman Raheena Romero. What's up, sir?
Well, you know, I'm asking all of the mayoral candidates that I can get a hold of to see where they stand. And it's one particular question which is either going to please or alienate a large number of your or some of your constituents, but it's something that needs that we're curious about. And I would like a binary answer, a one way or the other, rather than a we need to form a committee to study it, which is a politician's answer. Where do you stand on the Pancho Villa statue, staying or going?
I think the Pancho Villa statue should stay.
Why?
I think that it was a gift brought to Tucson by our number one trading partner, Mexico, and I think that you know the community in Tucson received it. It was placed downtown, and there's people on both ends of the argument.
Do you understand why people?
I absolutely understand.
So what are the bad aspects of Pancho Villa that you think people don't like?
You know, every individual person that's involved in a war is looked upon in a favorable or unfavorable way. And I think that the Tucson Pima Arts Council took a look at it. It is not violating any of the rules that a public art has to violate to be removed. And I don't think this is an important issue. I think the issue of how to continue moving Tucson forward, how we're creating jobs, how do we continue repaving the streets? And by the way, how do we make sure that the city of Tucson becomes a hub for Mexican companies to come to Tucson and create jobs here is an important one. I don't think that having a fight over Pancho Villa statue downtown is on my list of priorities to move our city forward.
Carl, there's your answer, okay. Sir.
Well, thank you for taking a stand. That's more than the others have done.
Thank you.
How about Ward Only? Where are you at on Ward Only? Because Farley punted on the Pancho Villa one. What did you do? What about Ward Only?
The citizens of Tucson have taken at least 3 votes on this issue.
Right.
And every time they are confronted with it and they have it in front of them, they voted no. And I know that.
But in the past, wasn't a couple of times coupled with giving raises and things like that, too.
Yeah. But still, you know, it's been put in front of people. And we actually went to court with the state of Arizona, against the state of Arizona because of this, because we feel that elections are a local issue. And the citizens of Tucson have spoken loudly and clearly.
So let me ask you this question. If it gets on the ballot, right, because they're collecting signatures just to have a vote on Ward Only, nothing else attached to it, and you had in your ballot in front of you to say yes or no to Ward Only elections, what would Raheena vote? Yes or no? Don't talk about the rest of the voters. I just want to know about you. What would you vote?
As a voter, a voter of Tucson, I would vote no.
And let me tell you why. Sure,
because I've run citywide. As you know, we have a hybrid election system. We run ward only in the primary and citywide in the general. I know how I felt as a voter before I got elected to the Tucson City Council. I loved being able to have a voice as a citizen of Tucson to help elect all of my council, right? And I felt I could call Shirley Scott, or I could call, you know, Jerry Anderson when he was in Ward 3 and say, look, we really want you to stand on this issue. And as an elected official that has gone through the system 3 times, I feel a responsibility. I've run 3 times before citywide. And by the way, I'm the council member that has received the most votes every single election. And I actually poke fun at the mayor because the first time he ran, I got more votes than he did. Anywho, but I have felt a responsibility to serve the residents of Ward 4 and Ward 2 and Ward 6 equally because they have a voice
so
in getting me elected.
So some people have, there was a group put together by a couple of former city managers and municipal bean counters, and they gave you some recommendations on where to find some money in the budget. Okay. And one of the suggestions that came up was that you guys should close the ward offices, right? Because first of all, the city of Tucson has a very high staff payroll for the amount of population we have.
A thousand less people than we were before the recession.
No, I'm just saying for each of your city ward, your ward staffs.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
That work
no,
for each one of you. Let me explain real quick. So yeah, the thing was to do the Pima County thing, which is to put all of you in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
And the suggestion was to keep Paul's office as like a East Side City Hall kind of thing. All right. So this is my thing. So you say, look, Chris, I want to have this access to everybody because I ran citywide. But you have these ward offices where you become very parochial on you have to take care of your ward. But the only time that ward gets to vote for you is a Democrat who votes for you. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So if it's set up the way is that if you really want to take care of your ward, right, that what I'm saying is the only people who can vote for you in the ward are Democrats. So if you're a Republican who lives in one of these wards,
but in the
you
general,
don't get the vote for the person who's basically working your ward.
But in the general, everyone gets to vote for everyone.
Right.
So they still have a voice. I understand there's some frustration, but we looked into the, just to go back to the offices in City Hall, we looked into that and it really didn't save us a lot of money to go back into City Hall, really. We really looked at doing it. And at the end of the day, the city manager, I think it must have been Michael or before him, recommended not to do that because it really didn't save a lot of money. But I actually like the idea of being at City Hall only because you have access to all the department directors right there. You just have to get on the elevator, visit the mayor, visit the city manager. But it really didn't save that much money.
How about annexation? Because this is something that we still have to do.
Well, I've been in one of the economic development pieces, Chris, is annexing. And the county of Maricopa is 93% incorporated.
Correct.
Pima County is 63 or 66. I don't know. It's very little incorporation. And what worries us about that is that we're leaving state shared revenue at the Phoenix table.
Actually, I just noticed the time. I want you to hold that thought. This is a great tease. I like you're in the middle of this. This is a good rant, though. So 8:33 in the morning, Rahina Romero, Christy Simone, 790-2040. We got Sue and Midge coming up next. She's on the right track here, but we'll see where she lands this bird, as we say, when we come back in the third segment of Wake Up Tucson. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. What's the name of your nice bodyguard again? I keep forgetting that.
Okay, for the record, he's not a bodyguard.
He's a bodyguard.
And he's not 5, what did you say, 6'9"?
5'9".
Nate Segal.
Nate, that's right.
And he's like campaign manager and young millennial that knows how to do stuff.
But he knows how to do karate, right? Thank you. He just did it. Thank you. He just portrayed his ninja-like skills. Thank you, Nate. We're hanging out with Rahina Romero, 790-2040 is the phone number. And I rudely interrupted her mid-sentence. And you were talking about how Maricopa has learned how to play the game.
Right.
Right. And we have not learned how to play the game yet down here on when it comes to state shared revenue.
Yeah. And I was telling you that part of our economic development puzzle is annexing or helping communities incorporate, because we are leaving so many. Every person that lives inside the city receives, I think it's about $800 per head from state shared revenue. This is the money that we all send through our taxes to the state. So it has to come back when we're incorporated, when we're a city or a town, we receive those funds back. I have been supportive of each and every one of the annexations that the city of Tucson has had in front of us. And we need to get smarter about this. And if there is a community that does not want to annex to the city of Tucson, I will support them to incorporate. You know, there's no reason why Green Valley is not incorporated. There's no reason why Vail is not incorporated.
I heard this when I was on the Pima County Transportation Advisory Committee. I'd had some of these communities in District 1 who hadn't had their local roads touched since 1986. Now, what year were you born?
74.
All right. So you were 12 when the last time these roads got fixed in some of these places, right? So we brought up this discussion at these town halls, annexation, incorporation, and they kept on saying, well, I don't want another level of government, right? Well, enjoy your crappy roads.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Pick a road. Either have a lack of roads, you know, and grass on fields, or maybe you should start. We got to change.
There's ways of incorporating.
So you were supportive when Vail tried to incorporate.
I was very supportive of Vail when they tried to incorporate, and I will be as the mayor. I will be supportive of annexation or incorporation because we're leaving $2 million of dollars in Phoenix, and we need to bring them home. And there are ways of being cooperative in local governments. If Vail incorporates. There are intergovernmental agreements that we do for different services, right?
Right.
It's dumb not to go in search of annexation or incorporation because we're leaving too much money. And Pima County, people forget, the city of Tucson is on Pima County. We're part of Pima County. And so when the county has to provide services that should be a city or a town's responsibilities, then we are spending too much money on those services and not enough on roads and other services that counties.
So the county's not really playing the game the best to their ability.
You know, and that's another leg up that I have from my opponents that I worked in Pima County for 10 years as a public servant, 5 of those as a program coordinator, putting kids to work in the summer and after school. Another 5 with neighborhood reinvestment, working with neighborhoods in the city of Tucson. And I have a good relationship with Chuck. Chuck has seen me grow in my public service. I have a good relationship with the Board of Supervisors, with department directors, assistant city man, assistant county administrators. I mean, we can work on this.
Did you get 12th Avenue in that 15 bond?
Yes. No. Yes.
I'm trying to remember now.
I think you and I were in disagreement.
No, you remember
the 15 Pima County bond.
Right. No. So remember, you guys said, "Hey, could you help us?" You know, remember?
Yes.
And I said, "Well, I'm not going to support the bond, but if it goes through, I'd rather have 12th in there."
Right. Exactly. But we did put it. We did get to put it in Prop 407. 12th Avenue is in Prop 407. It's going to receive $2.4 million.
I give you kudos on that because I told you there's, you know, there was 11 potholes between Med and Dedo and Irvington going north.
And doesn't it look nice? We finally...
And all the business owners are thrilled.
Thrilled. And neighbors are
thrilled.
Do the basics. Exactly. That's what's...
One thing on incorporation. So I'm going to put you on the record here. So if you win the mayorship of Tucson, Arizona... Can I trust Regina Romero, Mayor Romero at that point, to put together, really do a push with all the other municipalities to work on a plan through PAG/RTA, right? That's a true annexation incorporation plan.
Absolutely.
Is that something that I can put you on the record that you will make that happen?
Absolutely.
Even if the county comes kicking and screaming.
I'm one person.
I understand. Bully pulpit's your number one thing in this job.
But absolutely. Chris, I believe in this. And one of the other things that a mayor's responsibilities are is sitting on those boards, on the Regional Transportation Board, on the Pima Association of Governments Board. And because of the relationships I've built throughout my 11 years of service on the council and then before that, I've been able to build good relationships with the mayors of Marana, of Oro Valley, of Sahuarita, I have good relationships with the Pasquayaki tribe, both the chairman and vice chairman of the Pasquayaki tribe and the Tohono O'odham Nation are supportive of my candidacy.
So your take on annexation in relation, because some people say that if you had ward only, it would make it easier to for the city to annex. Your thing is, if you don't want to be part of Tucson, that's okay. We'll help you incorporate.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's go to break, 8:45 in the morning. One more segment with Rahina Romero. Questions or comments, 790-2040. WakeUpTucsonComments@gmail.com. Ed, I see Sue and Midge in the green room. They're ready to rock.
Let's go travel.
They're going to get you.
Travelocity.
They've written a couple of great books, and they've been some of our funnest guests. So we will be seeing them very, very soon. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Playing Mr. Moog or Moog's music this morning. Here we go.
8:48 in the morning. Look at you playing a little Herbie in the morning at Alexander. You the man. Now I can guarantee Rahina Romero roller skated to this song.
I did.
Can I have her microphone?
Down there, yeah.
I did.
So you grew up in Yuma, though.
I grew up in Yuma.
Did you roller skate in Yuma?
Yes, there was a roller skating rink.
Was there a bowling alley too?
Well, you got to have a bowling alley.
Right?
Yeah, but I never went to the bowling alley.
Okay.
You actually...
You have to remember, we were a family of eight and farm workers.
I do know the name of the bowling alley because I got buddies that live there. It's called Inca Lanes.
Inca, yeah. That's what it was.
It's actually probably politically incorrect. I think your crew would not like the logo on it.
It's fine.
Now, you were telling me that we have a 12th Avenue website someplace.
Yes. Well, the last time that I was here, you suggested it's time. It's time, Regina, for a 12th Avenue website. And I listen to you sometimes, Chris DeSimo.
You're a sick woman.
And I actually went back, talked with Visit Tucson and with our city manager, and I said, it's time for a 12th Avenue website. But I'm not recalling the website address.
You know, it's funny. They have there's an article on on Visit Tucson that's called, is 12th Avenue the best 23 miles main drag?
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Probably. We got a lot of good main drags in there between.
We do. We really do.
Because 4th is, of course, heavy, 12th, and then, of course, that Speedway Grande area.
It's really delicious. It's true.
Where are you eating Mexican food lately? Give me a couple of...
I like that Cojito.
Oh, okay, sure.
Of course, I like BK. They have awesome tacos and hot dogs. I like Marisco Chihuahua.
What are you getting at Mariscos?
They're ceviche.
Okay.
They're ceviche. Their marlin tacos are delicious.
I can't do the marlin.
I
don't know why.
Taco fish is unbelievable. Los jarritos is like a staple in our family.
That's where I first had my first Nopales taco. Los jarritos.
Oh, yeah. It's delicious. Tucson is UNESCO City of Gastronomy because the only one, I think, San Antonio just became UNESCO City of Gastronomy. And because of the amazing, authentic food we have in the history of agriculture in our city. So we're lucky. We're lucky.
If you don't know, we were actually co-nominated for an NPA award there, the Common Ground Award.
Yes.
We didn't win it.
I know we didn't.
Thanks, Amber, for screwing us over.
Thank you, Amber. But we will, though, because there's a lot more coming. You know, I'm working because of our work on South 12th Avenue. I came up with a concept, and the mayor and Steve Kosach and all my other colleagues on the council, with creating economic development corridors. The Sunshine Mile, 12th Avenue is one. Stone and Oracle is another. Pantano is another. Houghton is another. And we're creating special incentives. We've been working on this for the last 3 or 4 years because of what we've been doing on 12th Avenue. And I include you, have been doing on 12th Avenue. We came up with a concept of we are doing excellent in our urban core. We're doing really good in downtown in terms of development and new infrastructure. But there are dead zones in our city still, right? Grant and Avenon comes to mind. Broadway comes to mind.
22nd
comes to mind. And so Park Avenue. And so what we're doing now in the city, and we introduced it, we just heard about the draft concept May 7th. And we're creating these economic development corridors where we have incentives for the small businesses and property owners in those in those corridors so that we can see continued investment, facade improvements, access to microloans and lending from the city. Not from the city of Tucson, but nonprofits.
When I asked Jonathan about a month and a half ago when he was on, and I said, what do you want to get done in this last so many months? That kind of gives you concern for the future. And this, he talked about this concept of we have to really take some of these zones and we have to make it easier to develop there.
Yes.
And do your thing.
And so this has been happening for quite a few years now, but the concept started with the 12th Avenue work that we started doing. And then Steve picked up the Sunshine Mile work. And then Ward 3 started working hard on Miracle Mile and Oracle. And so now we're creating special incentives. And one of the things that small business owners complain about is when I want to reuse an older building, the city comes in and I want a new kitchen, but they come in and say, well, the door's not wide enough and you have to do this and you have to do that. We want to be able to have adaptive reuse so that small business owners can reinvest in there without having to, as long as it's safe, without having to invest thousands of dollars that they were not planning on doing.
My favorite story on that was CD's Jamaican on Speedway, but he originally opened on Speedway and Swan.
Mm-hmm.
And that little corner, it's now another it's an African restaurant now, but it was the Coffee Pot restaurant, which was a, you know, breakfast, lunch kind of place. And it was, so he took a restaurant, was taken over by a restaurant, but because of that change of owner, it kicked in all these things, right? It's only like a 900 square foot building.
I know.
And CD's like, I got to add an extra 7 cutouts plumbing wise?
No.
What are we, crazy?
No. if it's not like urgent and safety issues,
right?
We need to be able to give these small businesses. And another thing that I'm really excited about, Chris, is one thing that I've been pushing for the last 4 years is creating a small business incentive program that gives similar incentives that we give large companies and developers in our urban core. And so small businesses are 60% of our job creators in the city in Pima County. We need to treat them with respect and we need to help them not only open but thrive. And so I'm really excited because we have a new economic development director. And in the first month that she was here, she presented to mayor and council May 7th the
I've
concept
heard very
of
very nice things about Ms.
Small
Coffee.
Business incentive program.
And this is where our police thing comes into. You can do all the incentives in the world, but if we're not securing people's property, that's a problem. One last thing on common ground. I think you and I both agree we have the city of Tucson owns too many golf courses.
Yes.
How the hell is Fred Ankie still open?
Well, I'll tell you that.
I thought we closed it. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, we didn't close it.
No, I think
it's like trying to kill Jason in a Friday the 13th
time.
Movie.
I think it takes time. There's like very faithful golfers. But I'll tell you something.
Yes.
I believe in being financially responsible as a council member. And I will continue that responsibility at the mayor's office. We started looking into golf back in 2012,
yep.
Golf was eating up from the general fund, and it should be its own fund and pay for itself. It was eating up $1.5 million a year. And at the same time, the people that were managing golf, which was Parks and Recreation, were telling us to close pools, to close recreation centers, to charge more for after-school programs. And so I said, you know what? No, you can't do that. Because of the work that we've been doing, that I have been pushing on the council, we have been able to bring golf back around.
Is golf,
at least it's not eating up from the general fund.
So golf is, quote, self-sustaining right now?
Not really, because we still have, I mean, it's paying for itself, which is good. We got a private management company right. that actually knew what they were doing. But the continual problem, and it's paying for itself, which is a good thing. It paid back our general fund $8 million that it owed.
Okay.
And now we have to worry about the capital. And we have to have that conversation. We're over-golfed. We have too many municipal courses. What I would love...
We got too many courses in Tucson.
What
right?
I would love is to invest in the golf course. Delorick and Randolph pay for themselves and help the others, actually, because of the... Let's invest there.
I still don't understand that if you listener Don's going to kill me. Get rid of he loves Silverbell. Because I know we can't mess with River El Rio and ever again. So my thing is, I got Silverbell and Fred Ankie, which could both be sold for good money for the city to go do something else and reinvest in infrastructure, parks, or something like that for kids.
Well, we could reinvest back into it could be half park.
But you guys, anyway. But you'd still have 54 holes of golf.
What I'm really interested in, and I've had these conversations with the Conquistadores and with President Robbins at the U of A, we need to bring U of A golf back to the city of Tucson. We have a really good partnership with U of A baseball at High Corbett. We can do it with Randolph and Delorick, and we need to look into something, you know, a partnership, public-private partnership that will bring back tournaments to the city of Tucson.
Well, remember they're at the Casino del Sol. So
mm-hmm.
I see your phone just getting a message from the Pasquayaki. Please stop messing with our U of A golf team. All right, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time with you.
Appreciate the discussion as always. Good luck in everything.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon, Nate. Thank you for your bodyguarding. Great job as always.
VoteReginaRomero.com.
Thank you. Sue and Midge coming up next. We're gonna have some fun. Get you in the mood for some summer travel. Ed Alexander is making it happen. Remember, Brewed Coffee, Sabino Canyon, and Snyder. Our security sponsor, of course, is Eagle Force Security, Eagle Force AZ. They will give you a free evaluation of your business, community, or house, 844-75-EAGLE. And then remember, Rocky Point, Mexico, June 3rd through the 6th, July 15th through the 18th. Let Carmen know you're coming, 622-8811.